This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
We got a lot to get to in this hour, including the update on the Epstein files. Our hopes were up, but it doesn't look like our hopes are going to be met with anything, which really bums me out. And more on Gene Hackman's death. And the president says the war in Ukraine is coming to an end. Thank God. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Remember I told you yesterday how a Steak and Shake is going to be the first national burger chain, at least, to go with beef tallow for their fries? Well, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. tweeted that out and said, congratulations, Steak and Shake, for being the first national fast food chain to begin the transition away from seed oils. Thanks for leadership in the crusade to make America healthy again. Isn't that great? Absolutely. Fantastic stuff. So, that's really good. Now, The bummer in all of this is that we really thought that we were going to get the Epstein files out today. We thought so. We thought we were going to get the Epstein names, the list, the flight logs, all of it. And it doesn't appear that way because it looks very much like the Southern District of New York covered this up. So that's what we're learning right now about the Epstein files. So when Pam Bondi went on Jesse Waters last night, and she said, and we have the audio of this, she said, tomorrow I'm going to release the files. And everybody was really, really excited about this. Some of this is coming out in some pages of things. But let's play Pam Bondi last night, Matt. This is on Jesse Waters primetime when she said she was going to do this tomorrow. Take a listen.
You said last week that you have the Epstein files on your desk. Is when can we see them and what's taking so long to release them?
I do. Jesse, there are well over, this will make you sick, 200 victims, 200. So we have over 250, actually. So we have to make sure that their identity is protected and their personal information. But other than that, I think tomorrow, you know, the personal information of victims. Other than that, I think tomorrow, Jesse, breaking news right now, you're going to see some Epstein information being released by my office.
What kind? Are we going to see who was on the flights? Are we going to see any evidence from what he recorded? Because he had all of his homes wired with recording devices.
Yeah, what you're going to see hopefully tomorrow is a lot of flight logs, a lot of names, a lot of information, but it's pretty sick what that man did.
Okay, well, we'll
along with his co-defendant.
Absolutely, and he had help. That's for sure.
He sure did.
Okay, now there's a letter that the Attorney General Pam Bondi sent to Kash Patel, the director of the FBI. All right, and in this letter, this is what she said. And here's the key part. So I'll share this with you. Dear Director Patel, before this is dated today, before you came into office, I requested the full and complete files related to Jeffrey Epstein. In response to this request, I received approximately 200 pages of documents, which consisted primarily of flight logs, Epstein's list of contacts, and a list of victims' names and phone numbers. I repeatedly questioned whether this was the full set of documents responsive to my request and was repeatedly assured by the FBI that we had received the full set of documents. Late yesterday, I learned from a source that the FBI field office in New York was in possession of thousands of pages of documents related to the investigation and indictment of Epstein. Despite my repeated requests, the FBI never disclosed the existence of these files. When you and I spoke yesterday, you were just as surprised as I was to learn this new information. By 8 a.m. tomorrow, February 28th, the FBI will deliver the full and complete Epstein files to my office, including all records, documents, audio and video recordings, and materials related to Jeffrey Epstein and his clients, regardless of how such information was obtained. There will be no withholdings or limitations to my or your access. The Department of Justice will ensure that any public disclosure of these files will be done in a manner to protect the privacy of victims and in accordance with law, as I have done my entire career as a prosecutor. I am also directing you to conduct an immediate investigation into why my order to the FBI was not followed. You will deliver to me a comprehensive report of your findings and proposed personnel action within 14 days. I appreciate your immediate attention to this important matter. I know that we are both committed to transparency for the American people, and I look forward to continuing to work with you to serve our president and our country. There you go, Attorney General Pam Bondi. The fact that she has to say, and look, I mean, obviously Kash Patel is on her side, so Kash Patel is going to work to bring the truth out on this, and that's great. But the fact that the Southern District of New York of the United States of America was obstructing the Department of Justice is such a problem, because that was always considered the most revered field office. You know, that was the one. And as Michael Schellenberger said, you know, the FBI's New York field office said it gave Attorney General Pam Bondi all its Jeffrey Epstein files. It lied to her. That may be because Epstein appears to have been running a sex blackmail operation or honey trap for intelligence agencies. The FBI has used honey traps for decades. Now, do you remember the time that the FBI had a warrant to search Jeffrey Epstein's apartment? And they came upon a safe. And they had within evidence, I mean, they could see it because the safe was open. There were pictures, there were CDs. But they said at the time, the warrant doesn't extend to the contents of the safe. Now, first of all, that could be debated, because I think if you see evidence of a crime in plain sight, then a reasonable person can conclude that the FBI could take that as evidence. They had a warrant. It didn't limit the safe, but they said, well, it didn't specifically mention this, so therefore we can't, you know, go with this. All right. So they leave instead of calling a judge to get a warrant immediately. They just leave, right? They leave the Jeffrey Epstein apartment, and all the documents are there, and that's the end of it. Then 4 days later, they go back to the apartment, the penthouse, and everything's gone, as you would imagine it would be, because it's a stupid move to leave with all of that stuff there. You leave that. And you for four, but it was done on purpose. I mean, to this day, I'm convinced of that fact that it was done on purpose. You had people like Ehud Barak, the former Israeli prime minister and head of the military intelligence, with Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, Prince Andrew, William Burns, director of the CIA, as Schellenberger, who's probably one of the greatest investigative journalists out there, he says, you know, the release of new court documents from a lawsuit related to Jeffrey Epstein yesterday provided little, if any, new fodder for conspiracy theorists who remain fixated on Mr. Epstein's dealings more than 4 years after his death, according to the New York Times. The documents, the Times claimed, reinforced what the public already knew, namely that pedophile financier Epstein and his associate Ghislaine Maxwell made young and often underage women available for sex to powerful men. In fact, the documents offer new evidence and insight into how Epstein and Maxwell appeared to be blackmailing powerful individuals, albeit to mysterious ends. A judge ordered the release of the court documents, which were from a case brought by Epstein victim Virginia Giuffre against Maxwell in 2015. The party settled in 2017. Maxwell is currently serving a 20-year prison sentence. It's true that some of the information released had already come to light. For example, the Wall Street Journal reported that this current director, this is, you know, an older story here, the current director of the CIA, William Burns, had scheduled three meetings with Epstein in 2014. They met in Washington, D.C. and at Epstein's townhouse in Manhattan. The journal based its reporting on Epstein's own emails and schedules. So, you know, the idea that they had this non-prosecution agreement, the idea that one of the victims may have been it said that former Bill Clinton said, you know, that he likes him young. White House visitor logs show that Epstein had visited the White House 17 times while Clinton was president, often accompanied by attractive young women. And, you know, the question, of course, of President Trump. Well, President Trump said that, or I should say, a witness says that she did not see Trump in Epstein's home. And there's no doubt in my mind that for any of the skeptics out there who think that Trump had something to do with Pedophile Island and Lolita Express, there's no doubt in my mind that that's not true, because when Trump found out about the trouble that Jeffrey Epstein got in early on, he cut off ties with him. When that original prosecution against Epstein went forward in Florida back in the early aughts, after that, Trump was done. But before that, everybody was palling around with Jeffrey Epstein. It's the people that palled around with Jeffrey Epstein after he was convicted of being a pedophile that we're talking about here. Because before that, I mean, yeah, this guy was a rich guy, was a powerful guy. Everybody was around the guy. But after the guy gets arrested and convicted of being a pedophile, and then at that point, you turn around and you're still hanging out with the guy? I mean, come on. So that's what they need to get to the bottom here of all of this. And I hope they do. You know, it's, yeah, it's like as Tom Hoskins points out on Twitter, you know, when the DOJ and the FBI obtained a warrant for Mar-a-Lago, did it specifically include Melania's underwear drawer? No, of course not. But they went in there anyway, these guys. So I'm just pointing out to you the fact that I think that I still believe, is an asset of intelligence. I think they used him that way. And I think that is where the cover-up is coming from. It's not because of one particular person. It was because of the fact that he was being utilized by our intelligence community in that manner. And I think it's exactly the same way. When they got to that apartment that day, the FBI, somebody high up in the intelligence community told them to get out. You know, leave the apartment and get out. Don't take anything and go. Because in any other circumstance like that, the FBI would call a judge. Either the magistrate judge is always a judge on standby for situations like that. You get a warrant, you don't leave the site, you stay there to make sure nothing gets taken. And there's a judge who can say, Your Honor, we have probable cause to believe that there are CDs here and there are files and pictures of underage girls and everything else. And, you know, obviously, if we leave right now, we're afraid that this evidence could be taken and destroyed. So you call a judge and a judge grants you that warrant. And there you go. They didn't do that. And I know the reason why they didn't do that was because of that very, very important point. Somebody high up told them not to. Somebody told them, get out of there. Get out. And I think that that person who did that was, you know, NSA, CIA. We may never know specifically, but I think we will eventually figure out that aspect of it if there's a tie-in and it has to go with the same deep state that we have seen going after President Trump. Yeah. Because don't forget there's another person involved in all this, and that's Tulsi Gabbard. And if any of the national intelligence entities were involved with Epstein, Tulsi Gabbard is going to work with Pam Bondi and Kash Patel to make sure that all that information comes out. And they're not going to hide any of this stuff. Tulsi Gabbard, by the way, is going to probe the national security implications of the United Kingdom's demands that they're making to Apple. You know, they want Apple to create a back door for them to be able to get into their phones. They want Apple to destroy their product. This was something that came up many years ago on this show. And at the time, I kept telling you it's not just one phone, because there was this terrorist and he had a phone and it was locked. And people were saying, well, can't they just get access to this one phone? And I remember this because Rush Limbaugh was on back then, God rest his soul. And I would follow him at 3 o'clock. And I remember Rush was all in on the idea that you have to protect Apple in this. And you can't force the government to have Apple destroy their product. And it's not just one phone. It'll be everything. And encryption won't matter. And anyone who believes that they're using an encrypted device, none of that will be real. And at the time, people said, well, you know, if you have nothing to hide, what are you afraid of? But as Rush was right to prophesy, as I was right to prophesy, that's not how we do things in this country. You know, the Fourth Amendment's there. It doesn't say anything like, hey, you know, if you've done nothing, you've got nothing to fear. It says that the government needs a warrant to get your stuff, and the government can't, you know, it's there to protect you. There's nothing that stops a company from creating an encrypted phone, an encrypted app, anything like that. And you have a right to use it, as far as I'm concerned. So now the United Kingdom is trying to do the exact same thing when it comes to Apple. And Tulsi Gabbard, rightfully so, is saying this would be a clear and egregious violation of Americans' privacy and civil liberties. Because Apple sharing users' iCloud data with the United Kingdom would be an egregious offense. In a letter to members of Congress first obtained by the Daily Wire, Gabbard addressed reports that the United Kingdom served Apple with a secret order demanding a backdoor to its iCloud encryption to facilitate UK government access to any iCloud users' uploaded data anywhere in the world. She wrote, I share your grave concern about the serious implications of the United Kingdom or any foreign country requiring Apple or any company to create a backdoor that would allow access to Americans' personal encrypted data. This would be a clear and egregious violation of Americans' privacy and civil liberties and open up a serious vulnerability for cyber exploitation by adversarial actors. Now, it was reported in the media earlier this month about what Apple was what the UK was trying to force Apple to do. And just last week, Apple removed its highest level data security tool, Advanced Data Protection, from British customers, meaning that not all United Kingdom customer data stored in iCloud will be fully encrypted, according to the BBC. And, you know, so we had this debate, right? The debate was, well, shouldn't the government be able to access anyone's information? Because in case there's a criminal. And the answer to that, of course, is no. Because you watched very easily as the government turned around and weaponized law enforcement and went after everybody in this country for their political beliefs. So it's not a matter of keeping your data encrypted from the government because you're a terrorist, although that's what they'll always throw in our face. It's a matter of keeping your data encrypted from the government because, A, the government has no business getting access to your data without going through the proper legal channels, but also because very easily you become the terrorist, like a mom at a school board meeting speaking out against what the government's doing. And then the attorney general sends a letter to the FBI saying, hey, we have to now look into what these parents are saying at school board meetings. And the other problem with this is China here. Because as the Wall Street Journal points out, Matthew Green and Alex Stamos, Beijing would quickly exploit the British order to allow access to encrypted data as well. The UK has ordered Apple to build a backdoor that would allow the British government to download and read the private encrypted data of any iPhone user anywhere in the world. So that would include us as well. And that would include American citizens. A massive downgrade in the security features that protect the privacy of billions of people and that made Apple one of the world's most valuable companies. Congress must immediately enact a law prohibiting American tech companies from providing encryption backdoors to any country. This would create a conflict of laws situation, allowing Apple to fight this order in UK courts and protect American safety and security. Hackers from Russia continue to run roughshod over businesses demanding millions of dollars in ransom to return access to computers and data. It's another reason why people want to have their data encrypted. Because there's a lot of bad guys out there who are trying to get your data and then sell it on the black market, use it for their own nefarious purposes or whatever else. They even targeted President Trump. They targeted the Kamala Harris campaign. And because of all these attacks on our national security, the FBI, which at one point was all in on being able to hack any of these devices, actually reversed its hostility toward end-to-end encryption and recommended that Americans use encrypted message applications to protect themselves against foreign adversaries. So now you'd be an idiot not to use an iPhone. Really? And I mean, you know, when I talk to my friends who don't have iPhones and we're all on this group chat together and it turns up green, not blue, and I know that the conversation is not encrypted, I always just think to myself, you know, it's a good thing we're not sharing any sensitive data here because there are foreign actors out there who are trying to get access to your data all the time. Company data. But there's also a fundamental liberty point, too, which is, don't you have the right to be able to communicate freely without your government knowing what you're doing and what you're saying? And does it make it easier for the bad guys? Yeah, but it also makes it makes it harder for the government to be able to pinpoint people who the government deems to be a pain in the neck, politically speaking. It's why I'm against any of these laws that deal with forcing people to put their age in the internet for verification purposes or anything else, because you then lose the anonymity on the internet that you deserve to be able to speak freely and speak your mind without having to be outed and doxxed and have your government then target you. And we've seen how the government targets people. And you should also have your data protected from China. And if you're using end-to-end encryption, then you know your data is going to be created or are protected that way. And that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com. All right, more to come. Jake Tapper's hypocrisy, the media at an all-time low in trust among the American people. More to come in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
You know, in light of Jake Tapper's book, our buddies over at Grabian, Tom Elliott, put together a little compilation of how the media covered Joe Biden's mental decline. And I love the work that Tom Elliott does at Grabian. I think it's phenomenal. He takes the time to edit these clips, find them, put them all together for us. It's a great resource for people in the media. A lot of people use this stuff and don't give him credit. I do, though. I think it's important. Guy works hard. So here's here's a little montage for you.
How do you think it makes little kids with stutters feel when they see you make a comment like that?
It's very clearly a cognitive decline. Okay. That's what I'm referring to. It makes me uncomfortable.
This is so amazing. It's so amazing to me that
and try and figure out an answer.
A cognitive decline.
President Biden embraces his stutter, talking about it, while Trump mocks it, exaggerates it, belittles it. He's sharp physically. I mean, mentally.
Yeah.
I think the question is physically, right?
Right.
Or so?
Right.
Right. And the guy who's his chief opponent is only 3 or 4 years younger than him.
Exactly.
I mean, you have questioned President Biden's age, mental fitness, ability to lead. Of those supporting Biden, you said, quote, shame on all of you pretending everything is okay. You're leading us and him into a disaster. Do you worry that you damaged him at all? I don't doubt that you got hugs and handshakes behind closed doors today, and maybe even publicly, some of them, because they like you personally. But I've heard a lot of really nasty stuff about you from your Democratic colleagues.
Sure.
I mean, just like what is he thinking, exercise in narcissism. I mean, false claims to the Wall Street Journal about President Biden's mental fitness and acuity. He's 81, and his memory, you know, it doesn't seem great. It's not horrible, but I don't understand the outrage. Quote, behind closed doors, Biden shows signs of slipping, unquote. The Wall Street Journal is owned by News Corp, which is run by the Murdochs. Beyond the headline, there is some critical nuance here. The article is mostly based on observations of Republicans, with former Speaker Kevin McCarthy the only one going on the record. They do know that most of the criticism comes from Republicans. Have you heard any concerns from anyone who has met with President Chris Biden Coons about him seeming a little slower?
No.
The Russians are trying to do to make us and the public not trust our election integrity. Joe Biden has dementia, all this stuff.
The Russians. Yep, and that's the book. That's the author of the book. It's just the hubris of this guy. Original Sin, President Biden's Decline, Its Cover-Up, and His Disastrous Choice to Run Again. Somebody said this is like when OJ wrote the book, I Did It, you know, if I did it, but the if was in really small letters. It's just hubris, man. There's no other way to put it. There's no other way to put it than that. These guys were so in on this, Jake Tapper, and then he writes a book. And the fact is, it'll probably wind up being a bestseller because the New York Times and all the other entities will help push it. All the very media groups that literally worked in tandem to cover Joe Biden's mental decline from the American public, which I still think is one of the greatest political scandals of all time. But I think even bigger than that, it goes to the fact of how the corporate media does the bidding of the left. You know what I mean? So they turn around and they do these things, and we see it with our own eyes. All the times that Karine Jean-Pierre told us it was fake news, it was, and then, you know, in that little montage there by Tom Elliott, accusing Fox News of spreading disinformation, Laura Trump of spreading disinformation, the Wall Street Journal of spreading disinformation. And then the guy writes the book, literally writes the book about how this was a cover-up. So then what does that say about the American media? I mean, in all seriousness, what does that say about the American media? It tells me that the American media, corporate media in this country, has no willingness to do investigation. It's show business. It's all show business. And for the perspective of CNN, with the exception of Scott Jennings, who's doing a great job over there. Even last night he had a great moment with the left and a clip that's gone viral. But with the exception of him, CNN and MSNBC are there to entertain their viewers on the left and to throw rabid anti-Trump or pro-Biden in that instance news their way to make them feel good. But they pretend that they're news entities and news outlets. You see, that's the frustrating part. I'm not a news guy. I'm an opinion guy. I have opinions. I have strong opinions. I share my opinions with you. Sometimes you agree with them. Sometimes you don't. And when you don't, you find out later you were dead wrong. No, I'm kidding. I mean, obviously, Burgum, but, you know. No, really. I mean, but it's the fact that they operate under the cover of news. And then they cry and scream about journalism and how journalism is dying and Trump's going to put everybody in journalist internment camps. But they purposely disregard things. Like, for example, Newsbusters had this study. Less than 4% of the networks covered angry Republican town halls. Let me start that over. Less than 4% of network coverage of angry Republican town halls mentioned leftist ties. Between Friday morning and Wednesday morning, ABC, CBS, and NBC have giddily devoted 16 minutes and 38 seconds to House Republicans being ambushed at town halls with angry attendees lashing out over their support for President Trump, Elon Musk, and Doge. Naturally, however, less than 4%, 36 seconds, so 36 seconds out of 16 minutes and 38 seconds, speculated this latest example of a supposed nationwide groundswell against the conservative agenda was actually fraudulent, made up of crowds organized by far less left activist groups and even outside the House members' district. The Free Beacon exposed the organizer of angry attendees at town halls held by Congressman Rick McCormick of Georgia, was a self-described Democrat and political activist, and town halls nationwide were targeted by Invisible and Move On, which are funded by, yes, George Soros. ABC led the way with 9 minutes and 4 seconds with less than 1%. 4 seconds of 9 minutes and 4 seconds. Acknowledging the boisterous haranguing might not actually be genuine. World News Tonight anchor David Muir, bragged on February 21st about the heated moments in states across the country with voters packing town halls. Former Biden Apple... Former Biden Apple polisher Mary Bruce had 7 different soundbites gushing over Americans angry with President Trump sweeping layoffs and Elon Musk's drive to slash government spending, packing raucous town halls, and Republicans starting to feel the heat. On February 22nd, Good Morning America and World News Tonight, senior White House correspondent Selena Wang touted angry Americans across the country from Georgia to Kansas, pushing back against Doge and a litany of soundbites from the town hall, including one calling Trump a megalomaniac. ABC's This Week. And I mean, it goes on and on. But the point is this. They don't mention how these are all paid operatives going out there, organized by these groups, funded by Bond villains on the left to go and protest these things. These are not organic grassroots things. Like, I remember when they had the Tea Party movement, and I can tell you because I was working for a very conservative congressman back then, Congressman Scott Garrett. It was as organic as it gets. You know, the early days of this, and then later on, and I was a Republican county chairman, and it was as organic as it would get. You would just have people just showing up. This is not organic. This is the left doing what they do, which is to get their protesters out there to protest. And of all the coverage of this, they just don't mention that part. And that's what I mean about the media and their complicity, because it's entertainment. ABC, CBS, and NBC pretend to be the stalwarts of news. So you have, on one hand, the left is screaming about the fact that the White House press briefing, they're going to allow other voices in there. And some of those people asking questions might be pro-Trump. But all these entities are anti-Trump. They're all anti-Trump. See, the difference is, if I'm critical of a Trump policy, it's because I want him to succeed. If I'm critical of a hire, it's because I want him to succeed. You know, early on in the first term, I wound up muting people on social media who would just, if I had a criticism of something, like when he hired, for example, or appointed William Barr to be the head of the DOJ, and I was highly critical of that. And people were like, you got to trust Trump. And there was another time, and the president at the time banned bump stocks, and I said he was wrong on that. I'm not afraid to say when he's wrong because I want of the best outcome for him. That's the difference. But these entities, they exist to try to destroy him, but they do it under the cover of news. I'm an opinion guy. I happen to like Trump. I happen to like his policies. I happen to think he's doing a great job. I don't hide from that. And I don't come on this air pretending to be unbiased about that. You can't act in a world where you're unbiased. We're literally George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist who used to be Bill Clinton's comms guy and was working on burying media outlets, journalists who were trying to expose all of Clinton's gumadas and the rape allegations and, I mean, the rape of Juanita Broderick and everything else and, you know, love children. And Stephanopoulos is there threatening them. That guy now is seen as the chief political analyst over at ABC News as they pretend on their Good Morning America news segments and their ABC Sunday shows to be objective. They're not objective. And MSNBC and CNN are not objective either. Just come clean. I think if they would just drop the veneer of this and we could recognize that there really is no independent journalism left, right, on the left. I mean, certainly not. Then fine. And just admit it. We exist to entertain. I'm an entertainer. Rush used to say that all the time. He used to say, you know, I'm an entertainer. And I like to inform as well. My job is to entertain you. And I think of it from the perspective of, I always say this too, because over the years I've had various battles with people, not now, not under the current brand manager, Darth Socker. But I've had battles over the years with other people about the format of the show and talking about other things besides politics. I say, look, people come, in my opinion anyway, they come to this show because they're interested in the current events of the day. They're interested in politics, they're interested in what's going on in the world, in their community. They want to talk about it. They want to hear my opinions on it. They're not coming here for my sports take, as fascinating as it is. It doesn't mean I'm not going to cover it every now and then, or my movie takes. But it's just, that's not the bulk of the show. And it's the same thing if I tuned into a sports show and they're going on a political tirade. I mean, it better be brief because I want to hear about sports coverage. You have to be honest with your audience about what you're offering them. And for a guy like Jake Tapper and CNN to spend years complicit in one of the greatest political cover-ups of our time, acknowledged by Jake Tapper, who literally wrote the book about the cover-up of Joe Biden's cognitive decline. Then how can anyone take the American corporate media seriously? How can anyone possibly? I think why talk radio works, I think why this format is still so successful, is because of the honesty of it. I mean, we've had BS artists over the years. Obviously, we know that. But as I tell you all the time, it's very hard to fake it for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, most weeks, sometimes not Fridays, but you can't. It's impossible to do so. And I don't welcome the audience. I don't say, hey, Zioli Army, let's look at the news objectively together. I give you my strong opinions on things. And sometimes you agree and sometimes you don't. I don't pretend. And that's the difference. NPR pretends. NPR pretends to be an objective, unbiased news source. But their audience is comprised of, I mean, over 80% of lefties. And they tune in because they want to hear the news through a filter that is compatible with their views. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But as long as you're honest about it. I mean, I have respect for left-wing talk show hosts who are honest about the fact that they are left-wing talk show hosts. Tom Hartman comes to mind. I mean, I don't know how successful his talk show is anymore, but he doesn't hide from the fact that that's what he does. Okay, fine. Then as long as you're not BSing me, I'll disagree with you, but I'll respect what you're doing. What I can't stand is this whole, you know, we're objective and we're going to go out there and dish the White House's talking points. And then we're going to write a book about how it was a cover-up and act like we had nothing to do with it, which is what Jake Tapper's doing. In the case of these mass protests, we're going to hide the fact that it's an organized effort by lefty groups funded by people like Soros and others. Here's a little bit of the news coverage of that.
Tyranny is rising in the White House.
Tonight, from Georgia to Oregon to Kansas, Americans angry with President Trump's sweeping layoffs and Elon Musk's drive to slash government spending, packing raucous town halls. Republican members of Congress starting to feel the heat. In Colby, Kansas, Congressman Tracy Mann confronted.
Angry Americans across the country from Georgia to Kansas are pushing back. In a district near Atlanta, Republican Congressman Rich McCormick feeling the heat.
Voters showing up at town halls in some parts of the country over the last week to confront GOP lawmakers. In other parts of the country, voters showing up at town halls. This was the line at one in Belton, Missouri, for Republican Congressman Mark Alford. Inside, tensions high.
Elon Musk has contracts with the federal government. But he is also, I think, doing an effective job.
Comes amid a backlash to the cross-country cuts now showing up at congressional town halls. Constituents confronting Republican lawmakers from Georgia.
We are all freaking pissed off about this.
To Wisconsin. At town halls across the country, growing outrage over Musk and his Department of Government Efficiency.
You see, these are all various montages from ABC, CBS, and NBC.
The executive, and stop hurting your constituent.
Back in their districts, Republican lawmakers have been forced to defend the cuts to voters at town halls from Georgia to Oregon, Wisconsin, and beyond.
It comes as some Republicans are facing backlash at town halls.
You see how it's all, they all repeat themselves too, and they all say the same things. You know what I mean? They all say the same things, and I'll tell you the difference between why I respect Fox News, because Fox News doesn't hide from it. Fox News tells everybody we have a, you know, we lean to the right. Obviously, we're not afraid to do that. MSNBC, we lean to the left. Fine. My biggest frustration, though, is CNN, because they pretend like they're calling it down the middle. You know what I mean? But ABC, CBS, and NBC do. They just don't get as much attention. And the reason why I point this out is because, and the reason why I have our friends over from Newsbusters over on the show all the time is because there are still tens of millions of Americans, as shocking as this is to believe, who wake up every single day and turn on Good Morning America, the Today Show, whatever the CBS one is, I don't know. And then they go to bed at night and they tune into their local news, but there's still millions of people that tune into the big three networks at 6:30 p.m., which is shocking. It's shocking to me that they do. And if you understand the complicity of this, and you can say, well, then what's the point of, well, because knowledge is the point. There's an entire generation now of younger people who I think see through this BS because they've grown up in a world where they've been exposed to other platforms. So they've heard other thoughts and voices, competing voices, whereas generations, they just got their news from ABC, CBS, NBC, and the various newspapers. And so that became just their routine. Younger people getting their news from TikTok and other sources and finding viral clips, and then they think for themselves. And the more that you can preach the message that the corporate media, the legacy media, is biased and in the tank for the left, the more young people will become distrustful of that and look for other voices, other thoughts, other opinions. And that's how you can drive real change. And also, it's how you can get them to become skeptical of the nonsense that they hear. For example, I mean, let's say I'm in my early 20s and I was thinking about voting for Biden and I didn't know, did the guy have cognitive decline or not? Certainly looks to me that way. And I tuned into CNN because I thought it was objective, or I tuned into NPR and I heard them going on about how it was a conspiracy theory. Now I'm in the bookstore and I see Jake Tapper's book. So the credibility goes out the window, and good, it should, because I want these young people to look at this for what it is and to understand the game and to understand how you and what we're up against. So that when the Trump White House welcomes other voices, and many of them who are pro-Trump, fine, because he has a lot of voices there that are absolutely anti-Trump. Anti-Trump's agenda, and have and do every night give their audience a taste of what they want when they tune into these shows. Just be honest about who you are. Just be honest about what your objective is, and be honest about your agenda. Because we see through the BS. Our eyes are open. You can't fool us anymore. Bottom line. All right, that's it for me tonight. Let's turn it over to Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America. Back with you tomorrow for Friday edition. And yes, I'll be here. Watch your little sarcastic comments. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.